Microsoft dropped its earnings. These are the numbers that you need to know. Happy Friday, friends. April has come. April has gone. We are at the corner street of end of April and earnings season. Microsoft dropped its numbers. There's all sorts of good stuff happening there. There's BlizzCon got canceled. There's some limited edition hardware. So let's just dive into the news of the week because earnings is taking the top shelf. So up on the screen for people on the YouTube side is a chart by Todd Bishop and shows just the different segments and how they contribute revenue. So it's line graphs, if you will. And so Azure, Office, and then Windows, then Xbox, sort of in that order. But let's just dive into the actual earnings numbers here because Microsoft honestly had a killer quarter. $61.9 billion in revenue. $61.9 billion, an increase of 17%. Operating income, $27.6 billion, an increase of 23%. And the all-important net income, which is the amount of dollar dues that you put into the bank account at the end of the day, $21.9 billion is an increase of 20% year over year. Just that is an astronomical amount of money, going into the bank. And Microsoft's share price effectively started to show that. It was around $400 when I started looking at this after hours. It had shot back up a few percentages because of the strong earnings, which is a crazy thought within itself because back during the Ballmer era before Nadella took over, it never really broke out of like its like $35 shell. So to be at 400, it's eclipsed 400 previously, but to be at 400 is phenomenal for Microsoft. Microsoft 365 consumer subscribers grew to 80.8. LinkedIn revenue increased 10%. Server products increased 24%. Services and cloud services, I should say. Server products and cloud services revenue. There we go. Increased 24%. So if you're looking at the YouTube side, that is that top line, that blue little funky triangle thing. That is Azure. Windows Azure, as it used to be called back in the day, or wasn't it Red Dog? Before that, wasn't that what it was called during beta and all that back in like the early 2000s? Anyways, as you can see, that number is at the top. It dwarfs Office at the end of the day, and so it's continuing to grow gangbusters. But Windows actually had a pretty decent quarter itself. Revenue increased 11%. Devices revenue decreased 17%. However, Microsoft did say they are focusing on higher margin devices going forward, which means that things are just, well, we know what's happened in the past 6 months. They've basically slashed all the lower end stuff. And so gross margins I'm hearing for Microsoft was actually very, very good for Surface hardware. So the remaining Surface product are healthy. The things they got rid of, they just, yeah, it is what it is. Xbox content and services revenue increased 62%. However, 61 of that 62% was because of Activision. Console sales were down 31%, which hurts, I'm sure. But, you know, we're like mid-cycle of the console stuff. Like, they really need something to try to generate some hype and get those console sales up. Slashing costs will certainly help, but, right, let's just say they cut it in half, 50%, then they just have to sell twice as many consoles to be growing. That's just math. That's how it works. So realistically, Xbox org was just kind of flat year over year. The Activision stuff certainly gave it a bump and gave it some mustard, if you will. But if you back out Activision, it was flat to slightly down year over year. But generally speaking, Microsoft had a phenomenal quarter. They are in a very healthy position. They are not going out of business anytime soon. So lucky for Microsoft, they will survive yet another quarter. So, a bunch of other stuff happening within the industry. This is going to get a lot of waves here over the next couple months. But Snapdragon announced, like, hey, they've actually got a couple CPUs coming. So they've got the X Elite, which we've known about. There's also like an X Plus, so they're clearly going to go for the tiered mechanism. And yeah, so just be on the lookout for that. Now, there's a bunch of headlines because a Surface Pro with Snapdragon X Plus chips leaked on Geekbench, and there's been a lot of talk about benchmarks. And so I don't want to be a downer on this because I'm generally optimistic about ARM and what it will do for the Windows ecosystem. I think it's a good thing. However, the natural state here is to compare it to a MacBook, right? Because MacBook's on ARM, MacBook is it, whatever. And like, that's the thing it should be compared to because they're both ARM CPUs. But like, really, is it? I mean, are people, and I say this kind of whatever, do people really cross shop a Mac and a Windows PC? Like, I mean that genuinely kind of serious. Like, I don't really know if they do. I feel like if you're going to go buy a Mac, you're cross shopping between like a MacBook Pro, a MacBook Air, or whatever. You're not like going and saying, well, I could get this MacBook Air, or I could get this Lenovo whatever, or HP whatever. To me, that doesn't really feel like something people do. I could be wrong, but I would love to know, like, if anybody has data to back it up. It's like, yeah, people really, they really do go into Best Buy. I mean, clearly they don't cross shop at the Apple Store because you can't, but maybe they do at Best Buy. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. But either way, what I'd love to see, which probably we're not going to see, at least initially, and we're probably not going to see it from Microsoft either, to be honest. We'd have to look to Qualcomm. Compare it to an Intel chip, a comparable Intel chip. That, to me, is more interesting than whatever's happening on Apple's side, because at least with an Intel chip, it's like, it's Windows to Windows. I know it's not like apples to apples because one's Windows on ARM and whatever, but it's way, way closer than macOS. So anyways, when you see the benchmarks, just grains of salt until they're out in the real world. Because, yeah, you can juice those numbers, and I think there's actually a question about the podcast today about those numbers being juiced. So, anyways, other things, Microsoft is dropping support for Classic Teams on July 1st, so maybe we'll get rid of the new thing, finally, from the icon. That would just be nice. That would be nice. Also hearing around on the security side of Microsoft, the deck chairs are being moved around. Microsoft has had some high-profile hacks slash being compromised slash Russian things slash nation-state things. And Microsoft's government partners are not happy about that because, hey, like, we're trusting you to do this and whatever, and you're real focused on sales, and you need to be focused on not letting that happen. And I don't know why I'm banging on the desk, but either way, changes in the security org. I don't know if we're going to see a trustworthy computing 2.0, but it kind of feels like that. And as of right now, it's only posturing until we actually see Microsoft do things and really kind of harden itself up, because it's been on a growth like rocket ship for a while of cranking out new features. But maybe they need to focus on the past a little bit more, where most of their customers are likely living. So, other things happening, Microsoft shoving more ads into your start menu, and so that is not a great thing, and so thankfully you can turn these off, although I've got like a really, some data I would love to know. There's two pieces of data I would love to know out of this, two pieces. One, how much money does Microsoft actually make from these? It's got to be something, because clearly they're doing it, and clearly like they have a mechanism to make money, and that is very lucrative to them. That is clearly one. Two, the other one is like, how many people actually turn this off? Because, right, there's a setting in there that lets you do this, where you'll be able to turn these things off. Sure, you can go do that. But I bet you, and I would be willing to bet a large sum of whatever, dollar dues or something, that the majority of people never turn this off, ever. Like, ever. And probably don't even know how. And probably don't even care. Or just subconsciously don't care. Yeah, it's annoying, whatever. Whatever. Sort of thing, right? That, I suspect, is the majority of it. And so Microsoft's like, look, we're going to take a hit in the PR. However, we're going to make money from this. It'll go away and it'll fade out just like everything else. And we'll continue to do what we're going to do. And people, we'll give them the nice option to turn it off. But we already know that like the majority of people aren't going to do it. So it's a win-win for us. And we'll just keep our head down. Full transparency, I lead the team and the org that builds Start 11 that has no ads. So, you know, there'll be a link down in the description if that's your cup of tea. It's on sale. We actually literally ran a promotion this week that says remove the ads from your start menu because of stuff like this. And so whatever. Yeah, here we are. Good things happening for Microsoft. The Coca-Cola company plans to spend $1.1 billion to use Microsoft's cloud and AI services. That's good at least for Microsoft. However, I suspect like the AI services was tacked on. The reason why I say that is anybody who's ever gone through or worked tangentially to a deal like this, it's not like, hey, Satya, I need $1 billion of cloud dollars or something. Like, that's not how it happens. These things are at best months, at more likely years in the making. And it wouldn't surprise me if like all this stuff really started happening before AI was like what it is, like the negotiations and like the, you know, whatever else. And so like they get towards the end of it and Microsoft's like, look, we want to do a PR about this. We're going to tack AI under there. We'll give you a little bone here or there. And there you go. I suspect it's more about classical services that cloud services provide. And they're like, we'll throw AI in there. Cause it's like at the end of the day, it's good for both companies, right? Coca-Cola is like, we're getting in on AI. And Microsoft's like, look, we sold a billy of AI. And so, yeah, there's that. So on to the gaming news of the week. tighten it up. We're tightening it up for the gaming news of the week. Tighten it up. You have until May of 2024 before Xbox starts deleting your memories. Yeah, they'll delete your memories. So these are your game captures. So you need to offload them to another storage service, most likely OneDrive. When I mean storage service, I meant like you need to save them somewhere and do whatever you want with them. Or start putting them in OneDrive and having it accrue towards your quota over there. Because Microsoft says things that are 90 days old will start being deleted from the Xbox network. So you've got that going on. You've also got this going on, which is, it's not my style. You know, I still would love, God, if anybody has any of those limited edition Porsche consoles, that is my jam. However, this X-Men one from the 97 comic book series here, you can see up on the screen, limited edition, you can't buy it, you can only win it, and so good luck if that is your sort of thing. Also, super interesting is this Meta. So Meta did something what I think was smart. They open sourced or made available to everybody their Horizon OS, right? They put a bunch of money into this. They also announced that Xbox is going to release like a limited edition or something headset. Now, what you see here on the screen is not an actual product. All they did was just turn that little thing green. However, it looks like Xbox is going to be involved somehow, and it's going to be cloud gaming related. We already know that. They've already announced cloud gaming. And so, yeah, if you're looking for like a VR headset that's made quasi with Microsoft, this is probably going to be your best bet, at least for a long time. At least that's how the way it kind of seems. Also, the big thing sort of rocking the Xbox side of the gaming world is BlizzCon 2024 has been canceled, with the company saying, after careful consideration over the last year, we at Blizzard have made the decision not to hold BlizzCon 2024. Other smaller events will be happening during the year. It's a rough time for industry events, right? E3, we all know, is gone. Like, these big events, they take a lot of time to plan. They take a lot of money because you got to pay for the space up front. There's a lot of effort tied into these things. Like, they don't just happen, and they don't just have a spreadsheet and they're done. Like, it's a lot of effort. And so clearly they're like, look, this just isn't worth it, at least not this year. But it does, like, in the back of my little brain here, does sort of make me wonder. It's like, do they have like a bigger objective here of more of like unifying the Xbox events, right? So that they're real strategic, real cleanly placed. And by BlizzCon just maybe wasn't falling into that really well for the plans ahead. I don't know. We also know that Microsoft or Xbox didn't make a whole lot of money last quarter. I shouldn't say didn't grow a whole bunch of money. Maybe BlizzCon is such a big resource suck. They're like, look, if we took that effort and budget and put it into something a little bit better, maybe we'll have better results at the end of the day. You never know. Either way, they do say it will come back, but... like, okay, maybe it does, but like, you don't just take a year off. Like, you need momentum behind these things. So we'll see. We'll see. So, all right, time for my favorite part of the week, which are the questions. It's Pastor Walker says, do you expect upcoming Windows on ARM devices to be significantly more expensive than their Intel or AMD counterparts? No. I expect them to be comparably priced, would be my expectation, because if here, the biggest problem with Windows on ARM that it's going to face, let's pretend that it has better performance. It's great. It's wonderful. It's whatever. It's 10% better. It is. Let's just pretend that it is. If it's the same price as an Intel-priced product, when mom goes into the Best Buy and says, little Timmy needs a laptop, and here's one from Intel, and here's one from Qualcomm, they're going to pick the Intel. Like, it's the brand recognition. Intel has clear leadership in the brand recognition. Someone's going to say, but Brad, Qualcomm chips are in like literally every phone. Maybe not the iPhone, but like literally every phone. They're well known. It doesn't matter. Like, you know Toyota makes cars, but if you walked into the grocery store and you saw oranges by Toyota, like, would you buy a Toyota orange? No. Like, I mean, you might. I mean, a curiosity. This is a really dumb example. I will fully admit that. But the brand recognition of Intel in the PC space is exceptionally strong, even if it's not the best performance, even if it's not the best value. We've already known this versus AMD. And so, yeah, right? They have to be comparably priced, if not more effectively priced. So there you go. Sydney 2K says, hello, Brad. So I have a few old laptops and netbooks sitting in the back room, all with Windows on them. They can probably be repurposed for Chromebooks or Linux operating systems. My question is, with the Windows licenses, can they be recorded before being wiped of the devices, or will they be used, and can they be used elsewhere, or are they gone once Windows wipe? It says, so as Mr. PKI started to allude to here in the comments, when you have like an OEM device, it's actually on the device. So like there's a chip, it's stored somewhere on the memory in the BIOS. I'm not exactly sure where. Somebody else can answer that more effectively, but it's like literally tied to the device. And so you can't just take it and throw it somewhere else and it's always there at the end of the day. So yeah, I don't think that they are transferable. I don't think you can't. So I think you're kind of out of luck. Also, yeah, I was going to say also because the OEM pays like $30 for them. Like it doesn't work that way. Marcio says, hey, Brad, do you think Microsoft will ship Windows 12 as soon as maybe next year, or they will first let Windows 10 die and then try to push 12 on us? And what do you think Windows 12 is going to be about? So other than AI, I think that it will be the year. Next year would be awkward because they would be like, Windows 10's dead. Here's Windows 12. Knowing that we're not getting it in June, it wouldn't surprise me if it's the year after Windows 10 is officially dead. Because Microsoft's got a big push here. And maybe, I don't know, Windows 12 could be used to help to do that. I don't know. I hope that it comes sooner rather than later, just out of my own curiosity what Microsoft's going to do. We will find out. We will find out. It's a good question, though, because now that we know officially that Windows 12 is not launching with AI stuff, we're sort of in this weird pattern. So, DigiGuy says, what do you think of the semi-accurate claim? Seems to be sensationalist to me and most likely exaggerated. So what he's referring to here are the Qualcomm benchmarks for their Snapdragon Elite stuff. He says it looks like Qualcomm is cherry picking benchmarks that seem the results that may not be achievable in fanless devices. So here's the thing. Anytime the vendor picks the benchmarks, ignore them. Of course, they're going to pick the best one. They're not going to go through and be like, all right, we got three benchmarks here. Which one makes us look okay-ish? Like, they're going to pick the best one every single time. Like most things, I suspect the truth is somewhere in between, right? Qualcomm picked something that's like optimal of optimal, right? And semi-accurate sort of swung the other direction. I suspect that it's probably somewhere in between is the real truth. Again, until these things are running like real workloads and not like just Chrome or just Photoshop, but like running Chrome and Photoshop and Teams, and you got email and you got a phone call that happened 30 minutes ago, and then you have like an inbox that's piling up. Like until you get into those scenarios, nothing else matters. And we need like real world usage on the back of a plane sort of stuff. Mr. PKI with a couple questions. He says, I just got an awesome Dell Latitude 9440 with Windows 11, and it takes forever to get all the settings right without using control panel. It sounds like the control panel granularity is going away. Yeah, Microsoft is making some changes to the control panel, although this is risky within itself. Although I wonder if this has something to do with sort of like that streamlining that we see of Windows, where they're like removing the Windows 10 taskbar and those legacy bits. Because even myself, I still find myself in the control panel on occasion because finding the things in the settings, like they're just not all there yet. So, but it does sound like Microsoft is about to remove the control panel, or at least trying to make it even harder to access. And so, Mr. PKI with everyone's favorite ending question of the week. When are we going to get a review of the Fallout TV show? It has been awesome, in my humble opinion, compared to Halo. I still haven't watched it yet. Been busy, yard work, and then, geez, man. My weekend this weekend is already nuked. With stuff with my kid, which is not a complaint about having my kid or anything. It's just trying to find time to sit down and watch it through. I don't know when I'm going to watch it. Honestly, my best answer for when I might watch it is my next vacation, because we're flying somewhere and it's like a 4-hour flight. And that means I'll have 8 hours of TV time. And so maybe it'll be then. Maybe it won't. Who knows? Although I do need to find a book to read. So if anybody's got any book recommendations, business books, would love to know what they are. So, there you go. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy, earn is dropping seasons and easy. Whatever. That was bad. Maybe I'll cut that. Maybe I won't. I don't know. Hopefully you had a wonderful week. We'll catch all of you right back here next time, because the only BS on this podcast is me.